Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
White Sox news. The Sox have named Tony La Russa as their new manager.
That's not actually happened yet, but it could happen.
The one thing that a lot of people keep coming back to, and I understand it, and I even addressed it, Mully, I think early on in this process, and I just have a hard time believing it would be true, but the idea that this is an elaborate ruse, that this is a misdirection play by the White Sox in terms of trying to manage perception so that everyone is so caught up in the conversation over whether or not Tony La Russa makes sense at 76 years old that it drowns out any concerns about hiring AJ Hinch when and if they do that, given his background as a baseball cheat.
That is a master chess move, were that the case. I don't believe that's the case, do you?
No, I understand why people would wonder that. I wondered it myself out loud. Mm-hmm. But to think that they would be that calculated, if that were the case, this is a very big risk because it damages the credibility of your organization potentially. It undermines your general manager.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And it is a Bears Friday, and we will get into all things sports. But, David, I got to tell you, I was stunned yesterday when I heard about Vaughn McClure and losing Vaughn. I know he was a great friend of yours. I know that you are working today with a heavy heart.
Morning, Mully. Yeah, happy Friday. Yesterday was a difficult day for a lot of people that knew Vaughn. I know a lot of people in the Chicago media did. My relationship with him goes back to over 20 years. We worked together in South Bend. Real quick story, I was the assistant sports editor of the South Bend Tribune, and we had we didn't have a job opening, but we had this guy coming in to interview for a job that didn't exist. And so we went to lunch with the managing editor, the sports editor, myself, and Vaughn. And he essentially, by the end of the lunch, had talked his way into a job. And so that was the kind of personality he had. And that's always one of my favorite memories and stories about him, because as you can see from the outpouring of just emotion yesterday, he was a great guy. He has had a magnetic personality. He was a terrific reporter. He was a talented writer, which I think he took the most pride in, always wanting to improve. He was one of my best friends, not just in the business, just overall over the last, two decades. He would have loved this response. My goodness, People Magazine. He would have thought that was great. The kind of reach that his life had, and the impact that he had. Every story that he wrote, going back to when I first met him, he wanted to have an impact on people, on the profession, and just on his friends. And I think that we saw that yesterday, just how much he had. He would have loved this, and he's going to be missed. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I know. I know how close you guys were. And, I just can't even tell you how stunning it was to hear that news. Such a young man, such a premature death for Vaughn McClure. And I think that's one of the reasons
you know, that there's been this outpouring because it's such a loss. It is really it's shocking. And I think it's shocking for anyone that knew him, that worked with him, that he worked with. I mean, the some of the athletes that have come out, it tells you something when you can affect personal relationships like that. It's not an easy thing to do in this business. And, it just is one of these things where it makes no sense. It just doesn't kind of, you hear that news and you have a very difficult time trying to put it into any type of context. And for someone like yourself, I mean, Vaughn was working in Atlanta after working in Chicago, and you worked with him, as you said, in South Bend, and he was had a lot of different jobs in a lot of different places and affected a lot of different people. But I think that my heart really goes out to you, David, because I know that this one really hurts. And I just feel awful for his family, for anyone that knew him, and especially, I feel your pain. So
yeah, thank you. I think a lot of people who knew him feel the same way. 48 years old, you die too young. And, he had some history with health issues. I mean, his family certainly experienced a lot of loss over the last several years, losing his brother, his sister, and his mother. His dad passed away earlier this year. He'd been through a lot. And I think that, he did his job, and he worked hard down in Atlanta. He went down there in 2013, as you say. He was at the Tribune for 6 years before that, when we worked together in the Sun-Times, and he was out in Fresno for a while. And every step along the way, he approached the job. He really didn't know any strangers. And you saw the outpouring. I think I heard Mark Grody mention Cade McCown. Josh McCown.
Josh McCown.
Josh McCown.
That is a standard, isn't it, in this town? Yeah. Oh, my God.
And Brian Urlacher, he was a big yes. friend with Urlacher. We saw that. And other guys in other sports that you wouldn't imagine. Whenever I went anywhere with Vaughn, it was just like, you just kind of waited and for him to catch up, because you'd be going into, whether it was a restaurant, a bar, or an airport, is like, okay, you figure you go to where you're getting to, and he'll catch up later because he'll find 10 people along the way that he knows and wants to hug. And so, we got a lot to talk about today, but I appreciate that, because, we've seen from the response just how significant of a place, in the sports media, the NFL media. We saw the community kind of turn out yesterday, and the social media response was heartwarming, and he would have loved it.
The Bears are prepping for the Panthers. We're still hopeful that game is going on. There haven't been any positive tests yet for Carolina. They obviously played Atlanta last week, and a new day for Atlanta with all of the testing that has gone on there, the positive tests that have happened. Raheem Morris, now the new head coach. They fired Dan Quinn. I believe Vaughn broke that story, oddly enough, as we talk about these things. But, you power forward, and you believe the Bears are going to play this game, and you believe it to be a real opportunity for them, because there is such little faith in this Bears team, David. It's you talk to people around the country as much as I do, maybe more so. But I am always kind of amused at the lack of belief in this team. And I wonder if, as we hear some of these offensive guys talk through the week about, the quarterback saying, getting to the point where you're dangerous on every play, I wonder if that's overly ambitious, that, in a certain sense, take what you're given kind of deal. And this is a team, Carolina, that will allow you to run the football. And that's unlike the last couple of opponents, so maybe take advantage of that.
It's a good matchup, and I think that's what you look at in terms of the Panther defense, is what you think the Bears can get well. And you're right, there's a lot of cynicism nationally about the Bears, because I think it goes back to when you have a team that was coming into a season with such high expectations as the Bears were last year, and they got a lot of national attention, and they embraced it, and then they fell on their face. That's going to make an impression, and people are going to probably be cynical until you prove otherwise. And the Bears have an opportunity, you know, this weekend to start that process of proving otherwise, because it is a good matchup. They go on the road. They're underdogs, oddly, and yet they have an opportunity here to score some points, to get more than, you know, 24 points or so, and run the football, and then mix in your play-action passing game with Nick Foles and be dangerous on every play.
You know, I got to tell you, I thought Bill Lazor did a really good job yesterday. He's at one point.
He is.
He's a sharp guy. He's also there's something about his delivery that seems like especially thoughtful, right? So he was asked about Cole Kmet, who has one catch through five games, and I thought that his response spoke volumes. He said, "The question is not about why is this guy or that guy not doing enough. To me, that's all back page to why we're not good enough as an offense right now." And he got into that a little bit, and I think that's a better way of looking at it, David, because I don't know. You know, we talked about Chase Claypool, and when I heard him say that, I thought to myself, like, what if he were here? Would it be that much better? I mean, what? As big a weapon as you think the guy might be, they seem to be struggling to get anybody really involved in the offense that's not named Allen Robinson and maybe to an extent David Montgomery, because the reps have gone up so much. But, man, they really don't seem to develop or use any weapons in this offense. It's a struggle.
Well, that's why I liked what he had to say, is because it was almost like a public acknowledgement by somebody who is in a position to know and is not afraid to acknowledge that, because it's not just the players often that, he's a bad draft pick because he doesn't have a touchdown reception yet and he's been underutilized. Well, it takes more than one guy, you know. It definitely Bill Lazor underscored the problem. And the problem's not just because Cole Kmet can't play. It's because the offense has yet to really function in a way that's supposed to. You know, Chase Claypool might have been a really good player, and he's going to be a star in Pittsburgh. I don't know, Molly, in this offense with this team, how he – if he would have flourished as early as he has flourished. I just think that's, you know, hard to imagine just given where the Bears' offense is and what they have yet to accomplish.
And Le'Veon Bell isn't coming to bail them out, David. He's now a Kansas City Chief.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, the rich get richer. He goes from what's the back page of the New York Post? Is it from chumps to champs, Jets to the Chiefs?
Very angry at him.
Yeah, that's going to be okay.
You can't take it with you, lady.
But there again, Mully, to your point, Le'Veon Bell comes to the Bears. Say he gets 10 to 15 touches a game. Would you expect an impact based on this offensive line?
No. I mean,
is that Bell's fault? Is it any running back's fault?
Or based on the way you utilize a running back, right? I mean, I think, Le'Veon Bell can catch the ball out of the backfield, and that's an important thing in this offense.
He got to eat, too.
I mean, what? Look at the numbers that David Montgomery has put up the last 2 weeks. It's like 10 carries, 29 yards, 10 carries, 27 yards, something along those lines. I don't have it in front of me. But basically, that's one day for a lot of running backs, right? 20 carries, 126, whatever it ends up being, and a touchdown. And that's, by the way, the lone touchdown for this team, a rushing touchdown. So if David Montgomery can get that done against Carolina, you're well on your way to winning a game. And guess what? It should be there for him, provided you call the plays, provided you can figure out a way to block it up a little bit.
It should be. This is an opportunity for Matt Nagy as well as everybody to try to, you know, get that rhythm going, commit to the running game, and hope your offensive line responds to the challenge, because it's a big one for them without James Daniels this week.
And the sporting news, you know, the sporting news is one of these publications that has been around a very long time. And back years and years ago, and it was before my time, before there was like Agate in the newspaper, you would wait to get the sporting news, apparently, to look up all the box scores because you couldn't find them in other places. I always seem to remember the box scores. At any rate, they have named their annual awards in baseball. Jose Abreu chosen as their player of the year, and Rick Hahn is the Sporting News 2020 executive of the year.
Yeah, you would think that the executive of the year should be front and center and making every decision for the next managerial search. And until further notice, I guess we'll assume that he is.
Breaking White Sox news. The Sox have named Lou Piniella as their new manager.
You know what's funny about that? I read somewhere that Tony La Russa and Lou Piniella were on like American Legion ball or whatever it was. Like they are contemporaries. They came up together playing baseball in Tampa.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that hilarious?
I did not know that. So that's going way back.
I can't wait for the ivory to turn green.
We'll get into that because, you know, you hear as this continues from people who know La Russa well. Dennis Eckersley yesterday said he talked to Tony. And I don't know that after hearing what Dennis Eckersley had to say, if you got a sense that Tony La Russa is as excited to get back into it as maybe we thought. But I guess until we hear from Tony himself, we'll just wait and see.
All righty. We got so much to get to. We're going to do that in the Pick 6. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's Pick 6 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mully and Haw starts now.
The Bears have only one rushing touchdown in 5 games. Will they manage one on Sunday at Carolina? Will David Montgomery rush for more than the 56 yards he managed combined the last 2 weeks? Now that Le'Veon Bell reportedly will choose the Chiefs over the Dolphins and the Bills, with the Bears not on his short list, is Monty the man, or will Lamar Miller eventually make an impact?
Yeah, I think we have Beowulf syndrome about the Bears running back position. We keep thinking there's going to be some great warrior that comes from the outside to protect and save all. It's got to be David Montgomery. They've got to use him, and they've got to get him up and running. If they get the running game going, it would be great to have a guy like Lamar Miller also involved in it and sharing some reps. I'm sure that will eventually come. I don't know that is this week, but this is a great chance to run the football. This team is not like the last two teams you played. So you will have an opportunity to get some yards here against this team. And in fact, they're good enough against the pass. They're not good against the run. So you've got to take advantage of their weakness on defense. And I would imagine, David, that you're going to try to double up those numbers that you saw from the running back the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I like that Monty is the man. He's got to be the man. He's still the man. Lamar Miller gives you depth. Lamar Miller gives you maybe a credibility to your running game in terms of having a guy who is, you know, you can rely upon if you need to, but you shouldn't need to. David Montgomery is a very good back if you give him room. I'm less concerned about David Montgomery doing the job as I'm concerned about the offensive line making the room. It all starts up front. And when you look at the Bears offensive line, mediocre at best, and when you lose your best run blocker in James Daniels, which I think that, you know, you can say that without exaggeration, that concerns me, because this is an opportunity for the Bears to move the football on the ground. I think David Montgomery will find the room if you give him a little bit of daylight, but you can't run through holes that don't exist, and so that you have to create the holes. So I'm more concerned with the line than I am Montgomery, and if the room is there, I think they'll continue to give him opportunities to gain the ground. If they were worried about his ability to do so, I think they would have been more aggressively in pursuit of a Le'Veon Bell. So I don't think Lamar Miller is going to play a major role. I think it's all David Montgomery in terms of the running game.
Pick six!
With Khalil Mack coming off his best game of the season and off the injury list this week with his bothersome knee issue, could he be headed toward a dominant stretch? Will Mack have another sack or two, or is he waiting for a national television audience?
I hope that he doesn't need national TV audiences to respond, but he is primetime Khalil. He is the primetime pass rusher. It's going to be a big challenge this week. I think when you look at the Panther offensive line, the bookends, you have Russell Okung, the veteran, on the left side, who has, you know, been a guy that historically is very good, and he makes a ton of money, $13 million. He's only given up one sack at 201 snaps this year. On the other side, you've got a younger right tackle, Taylor Moten, who's not given up a sack and only given up five hurries in 203 snaps. It's going to be a tough challenge, but it's Khalil Mack. They're going to he's on a roll. Maybe Thursday night got him going. I expect him to figure out a way to get to Teddy Bridgewater and to make an impact on this game. So I am thinking it doesn't matter if it's noon on a Sunday. You're going to see the best of Khalil Mack again.
Yeah, you know, you got to like that idea, young right tackle that hasn't given up any sacks. Where did we see that before? I think we saw a man airborne at one point. Was getting flipped off of Khalil Mack last week. Yeah, I got to tell you, this is a mean-spirited question. It implies that Mack is only there for the national audience. Mack is there on every play, and I think the key here is that he's not on the injured list, and that you're not hearing about him missing practice for a Veterans Day. I think he's up and running. We saw him shot out of a cannon, and we'll see it again.
Can you believe this? Pick six!
Rick Hahn was named MLB Executive of the Year by the Sporting News. If the White Sox hire Tony La Russa, which will create the perception that Jerry Reinsdorf overruled everyone in making the decision, could you envision Hahn resigning in protest to take advantage of being a free agent at the peak of his career? Or do you buy the notion that Hahn still has final say, even if they hire Reinsdorf's best pal?
I love this question, because this might be more mean-spirited than the last one.
It may be.
Yeah. I mean, look, is this the Dan Bernstein plan? If you have to hire a guy, resign in protest. Dan's given up his fandom. Look, I hope Rick Hahn is the decision maker and the guy that makes the call on this one. And, you know, I heard Dennis Eckersley yesterday was on WEEI in Boston and said that he believes that in his gut, he believes that La Russa is not going to take the job. I think that they're kind of giving a bow to him, and we'll see what happens. But I would hope that this hire would be Rick Hahn's. And I would hope Rick Hahn yesterday, when he won this award, you want to talk about a classy response. I mean, he laid it out for everyone he's delighted about it, but he wishes everybody that contributed, their names were on this as well. He went team player on you, and I got to tell you, it was a really classy, wonderful way of reacting to an individual honor and a life lesson for all of us.
He did go team player, and it made you think, it made me think that this is probably part of that, because if Rick Hahn, given the criteria he identified on Monday, goes out and pursues and hires Tony La Russa, I'm not buying that it is his hire or that this is within his control. It is the chairman all the way, because somebody who is as capable as he is in winning the executive of the year knows better that for the long-term future and for the best fit for this White Sox team right now is not hiring a guy that's been out of baseball for 9 years, with due respect to the Hall of Fame credentials of Tony La Russa. So that doesn't seem like Rick Hahn to me. That would be something that he would be almost forced or compelled to do by his boss. And if you are compelling the executive of the year to do things on the job, it's not a very wise direction to go. So let's hope the White Sox get this sorted out. They hire the right guy. And I was impressed, as you were, Mully, that Rick Hahn handled that yesterday in a classy way.
This is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
How would you describe your interest in the Bulls' intra-squad scrimmages you can watch on an app? And what do you make of reports that Zach LaVine and Coby White have bulked up and Lauri Markkanen is playing more freely?
How would I describe my interest in the Bulls' intra-squad scrimmage? Minimal. Okay, it's October. I know we're supposed to be getting into the NBA camp time of year. This is when the season typically starts. But it just seems like it ended, and it just did end. They just crowned a champion. Although, it's kind of fun, I guess. I guess, you know, to see Lauri Markkanen running around, to see Coby White, who does look good, I have to say. So the one thing, if I'm honest, watching some of this, is that Coby White did look very athletic, very explosive, and very exciting. Other than that, I have no idea what it means.
App me up, okay? I would say my interest is maximal. I haven't seen the Bulls play. Okay, maybe I made that up. I have not seen the Bulls play in a very long time, and I watched a lot of the bubble ball, and now I feel like I got a much better sense of what a good basketball team looks like than watching the Bulls and the opponents they've played. So I want to take that knowledge and apply it immediately to the Bulls. I'm all fired up about Zach LaVine and Coby White getting themselves bulked up a little bit. But the information that really fires me up is Lauri Markkanen playing with more freedom. I like that idea. I hope that means he's not just standing outside. I hope it, you know, when I hear about a guy playing free, I think of a man unshackled, and now he's running the floor, and now he's dunking, and now he's doing whatever it is that he wants to do. He is not locked into some goofy style of play that doesn't fit him. So I'm all for that. I don't know why, but I'm fired up about the Bulls. Maybe because I know I won't get a summer league.
Pick six! Wow!
Truly the greatest tragedy of all. What do you make of the Las Vegas odds makers installing the Bulls as a 50-1 shot to win the Eastern Conference? That ties with Atlanta for eighth in the East, the final playoff spot. Is that a tribute to the players, AK, or Billy Donovan, and is it realistic?
You know what I make of it? I think Jim Boylan's become a Vegas odds maker. That's what I think. Guy's looking for employment. He's going to go take his playoff dream to the Las Vegas Strip. No. Look, I'm sorry. I am not getting on board with that again. I think that it's a tribute to Billy Donovan more than anything else. He's got a 600 win percentage. We know that AK has been a part of winning program, but I think that when you see the Bulls at 50-1 in the Eastern Conference tied with the Atlanta Hawks, I think that's strictly a way of saying maybe they make the playoffs. Yeah, you know, the Chicago people want to bet on them. Eh, give them 50-1. No, I don't think it's any realistic look at how the Bulls are going to be, but I do think it's a nod to Donovan.
I think that without overstating it, it kind of reflects something that the Bulls have lacked so much in recent years, and that's respect. That's credibility. That's what Billy Donovan has to offer. People look at this without having seen one practice, or maybe they're eyeballing the app too, but I think they see hope because of the way the Bulls have approached this pandemic, this offseason, and the way that they have been honest about their shortcomings. And they've attacked them from the front office down to the head coach. And there's a belief that maybe that will continue. So I think it reflects more than anything just this sort of renewed vigor that you're sensing from the Advocate Center.
That is a pick six!
Who will win the Bears game at Carolina, and by what score? And who will we be talking about as the game hero on Monday?
Well, I think that as we have been discussing, we're both sort of leaning toward this idea that this is a good matchup for the Bears. I don't know that I felt that about the Bucs. I don't know that I felt that about the Colts, even though I think I picked the Bears to beat the Colts. This is an opportunity. Go on the road. Forget what the Vegas says. Forget the point spread. The Bears can win this game. The Bears should win this game. If you're 4-1 and you're going into a play a team with a first-year head coach, even though they've won three in a row, they're without their best player. This is a game you have to win. This is a game the Bears will win. The offense will get rolling well enough. The defense will get that big hit or take away Kyle Fuller. 27-21 Bears.
Yeah, you know, I ended up going with the Bears too. I think I was 23-19, something like that. Maybe I was 21-19. I think I was a point more than last week, so that must be 21-19, something like that. I gave him a 2-point win. Look, I think this is – if you don't win this game, it's on Matt Nagy, period, end of story. You got to run the football against this team, and that will help you, and it will – I think we'll be talking about Mac. I think it's a Mac attack. I think he's getting better, healthier, and he's getting more dominant. But, again, it's probably an error to ever expect anything to go according to Hoyle. But I'm on the Bears for sure this weekend. All right, we're going to we're going to talk to Peter Gametz. We're going to get to Peter and get a chance to kind of pick his brain a little bit about the White Sox and who they're going to hire, and can you be an executive of the year if you're not allowed to hire the next manager? We'll ask Peter that. But first, we have the man himself, the wonderful Kevin Zipak, delight to all, and he will give
true.
Us a scoreboard update. I'm reading it as you wrote it.
Ah, okay. I thought you were going to go with annoying nuisance, but, you know, tomato, tomato.
Peter Gammons, MLB Network analyst.
Around the ball and gone.
Taking you inside Major League Baseball with the Hall of Famer, Peter Gammons.
Mully at Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Peter Gammons joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Peter, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Peter.
I'm doing really well. That was a wild night of baseball last night. There's something about Carlos Correa. There is something really special about that guy. I mean, always has been. He's been hurt a lot and so forth, but there's something about him that's pretty amazing. I actually, the year he was drafted, I was staying in the same hotel in Secaucus, New Jersey, as some of the young players. He was there. He was 16 at the time. Having breakfast with him two mornings in a row, I felt like, I mean, this guy was like 25 years old. He was so mature. As it turned out, he graduated first in his class at the age of 16 and had over 1,000 on the college boards growing up in Puerto Rico, and never had anything but an A in his life. So he is different. I think he has a chance to, if he can stay healthy, emerge as a really dominant star as young as he is. So it'll be interesting. It's also amazing that Baez, Lindor, and Correa all came out of Puerto Rico in the same draft.
Wow, what a group of players. That's incredible. That's a lot of defense and a lot of power and all the rest of it. Peter, when we look at what's going on with the Dodgers right now, and obviously Clayton Kershaw had a very rough outing, and that's not news. Clayton Kershaw in the playoffs is not like the guy during the regular season. You know, do you immediately look at that and say this is going to be something that people have to consider, even though he's had a Hall of Fame career?
I think it will be. It'll cause him to be. You know, he's not going to be Tom Seaver when his name goes on the ballot. It's not going to be that simple. But I really feel bad. He's such a phenomenal person and very smart, very complex. But you know, the numbers. You know, when you go, okay, he's got a 2.43 lifetime ERA in the regular season. He goes to 3.68 in the wild card and division series, 4.84 in the championship series, 5.40 in the World Series. There is that. I'm not a believer that your whole career should be based on what you do in October. But at the same time, I kind of go, you know, it's not quite what we what you love. I mean, Maddox's wasn't great. Glavin's wasn't great. I get that. But they both won 300 to 350 games. I'm not sure Clayton's going to get there because of different physical issues.
Peter, this is the stage the White Sox want to be at as early as next year. That's why they changed managers. That's why they're pursuing a guy to get them over the top. Tony La Russa's name has come up this week as somebody they've received permission from the Angels to talk to. He's been out of baseball 9 years. I'm sure that you know Tony well. What are your thoughts on the White Sox pursuit of Tony La Russa and the likelihood or possibility of that happening?
I think if Jerry Reinsdorf wants him, Tony will go. Tony still believes he can manage. I think he requires and needs a really good staff, but I think Rick Condon would convince him of, okay, you know, I have a really good, young, hardworking staff to go with you. And hopefully, you know, he was, Tony was the manager in St. Louis when there were a lot of White Sox people who were around that club. And I've always sort of found it interesting. I remember that I was doing a Baseball Tonight for ESPN from Jupiter, and he let me announce that Joe McEwing was going to make the major leagues finally after his minor league career on TV. So there's a relationship there between Joe and Tony. And Joe's like the perfect assistant manager. I think he'd be a very good major league manager myself, but he'd be the perfect guy with Tony, and then they get the coaching staff. One thing I found really interesting, I was listening to discussions about how Tampa Bay has completely changed baseball because of the way they use the ball. They have so many different looks. And, you know, I mean, with all due respect, they just didn't follow baseball much before 2015, I guess, because, I mean, I go back to Gene Mauch and people like that who very carefully had their bullpens right-handed, left-handed, different looks, all that stuff. But I mentioned that the Buck Showalter was always a fanatic about that, having all the different looks and so forth in bullpens. And he said, I obviously study managing. He said, nobody in my lifetime and it comes close to Tony La Russa for the way he used the bullpen. He revolutionized the game. He said Tampa Bay does a great job. But, I mean, it was Tony La Russa, all the different looks, right-handed, left-handed, Nelson and Catterey and all these different guys that he used in Oakland leading up to Dennis Eckersley. And I think it's probably still there. I think it'd be really interesting. The White Sox are so close to being really good. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with a couple of young pitchers in time, but I mean, they can find bullpens. We've seen that from all these teams in the playoffs. Most of the guys in the bullpen are guys that they picked up, you know, you just lined up like seven guys that got released in the minor leagues who throw 95 miles an hour, teach them a couple of pitches, and they arrive. It's an amazing thing. But they can do that. I think it'd be very interesting. I mean, I think any of the guys that have been mentioned, whether it's Tony, Alex Cora, and I live in Boston. I don't know. I think he's going to come back. To Boston, but I don't know. A.J. Hinch, of course, has a prior relationship, a longstanding relationship with Rick Hahn. And he's a really good manager, too. And they'll all be very interesting to see, you know, how they all fit there. I think it's the right time for the White Sox to do so. And I think, you know, I think it'd be really fun. I'd love to see it. I mean, I find the White Sox and Cubs are in really interesting divisions in that the White Sox are obviously the arrow is moving up. But you kind of look at the rest of the division, Minnesota is probably going to be very good again. But, I mean, it's only so much that Cleveland can lose and stay competitive, especially with their really difficult revenues of coming off this season. Their revenues are going to be really, it's a barren cupboard. And I just don't see the other teams in the division being that good, that strong. Kansas City's growing and it's going to be very good in 2 years. But, you know, it's time for the White Sox to take it. And I look at the Cubs and they have some of the tough decisions based on, you know, veteran players and so forth. But you look around and you say, you know, Milwaukee's not better than it was 2 years ago. I mean, and that trade with Grisham and Davies was a disaster. Cincinnati loses Bauer. They gave away Gausman. I mean, where are they going? And St. Louis, the stars of this postseason were let go by the Cardinals. Ozuna and Arosa. I have a little trouble saying it, but we all know the Cuban Missile. I mean, they let Ozuna walk. And that they made the deal with Tampa, and the Cardinals couldn't score runs this year. So, you know, where are they going to get that offense back? I don't know. So the Cubs, with the right offseason, can all of a sudden come back and be really interesting again. At least, you know, winning 90 games, and if 90 games gets you there, that's all you have to worry about is getting into the playoffs and then seeing what happens.
Yeah, Peter, you know, on the north side of town, we keep looking at what's going to go on with Theo. And, you know, he was very forthright in his kind of end of the season news conference. And he talked about setting the team up for the future. And he talked about completing the final year of his contract. He didn't talk about re-signing or having a long-term plan to stay in Chicago. What do you think happens?
I think Jed Hoyer takes over. Assumes more and more responsibility next year and takes over. I am a huge Jed Hoyer guy, so I've known him since he was originally an intern in Boston, and he is a very brilliant guy. He's very, very clear-visioned and methodical, and I think he'll be very good. Hopefully Jason McLeod will move up, and maybe Jed will be the club president and Jason will be the general manager. I think it'll be an interesting I think there's a continuity there that will work very clearly. And, you know, they're going to have to deal with, at least for a year, they're going to have to deal with payroll cutbacks and so forth. But what's so interesting about the game right now is we really haven't heard many teams talk about it. Agents think it's going to come back to being normal right away. Wrong. It's just not happening. And, you know, with all the non-tenders that are going to happen, I mean, we have a chance to have 200, 250 players on the market this winter, which means if spring training opens on time and between the coronavirus and the labor agreement, there's no guarantee of that happening. But let's say it opens on time. We may have 75 players left out on the market come the end of March. And so it's going to be an ongoing, what can I fit in here? Well, what are we looking at in terms of TV revenue? What are we looking at projecting our attendance? You know, for the Cubs, you know, how are all the ancillary businesses, the hotels and so forth in Cubsville, how are they projecting? So it's this is one of the most uncertain years, probably the most uncertain year in baseball since 1976, when in December of 75, they got the Messerschmitt-McNally decision came, and every player in baseball was a free agent until the All-Star game when they finally came to a labor agreement. So it's an interesting one. The player that I really focus on, and this really troubles me, and I have to admit, because I think so much of him, I can't figure out exactly where Chris Bryant's at. I always think of that smile on his face. He's feeling a very tough play to win, you know, since 1908, you know, in the rain and all the rest. And that smile, that joy of being there, oh, it's so great. They hit the ball to me with a World Series on the line. And I don't see that now, and I don't know why. There's, you know, things I think have eaten at him more than the physical problems of it, and maybe he can't play at the level all the time that he wants to. But I don't see the same joy. But he's so young; it could come back. And I just you know, I naturally hope that it all comes back for him this next year. There's a friend of mine who plays for the Milwaukee Bucks, who is a tremendous baseball pitching prospect, actually has signed a 4-year deal with the Orioles and then went back to the Bucks. Pat Connaughton always says that he figured out at one point playing for the Bucks, coming off the bench, but doing all that role that he does, that he's finally, when he was complaining once about being taken out of a game, he sat on the bench and thought, you know what? Ever since I was an 8-year-old kid shooting at a little wire basket that my father put up on the garage in Arlington, Massachusetts, I wanted to be in the NBA. That's why I turned down the baseball to play in the NBA. And where he's able to return himself to being 8 years old again. And it's sort of, I hope that Chris Bryant can find that kind of joy. Daniel Bard found it in Colorado this year. Had a great year after being out of baseball, being out of the major leagues for 8 years. And, you know, it can happen. And so hopefully that happens. And I'd love to see it in Chicago because I know Chris loves Chicago, but I'm not sure it will happen there. But I think he's one of the most interesting stories in baseball. And I think of these other guys and I think, you know, Chris could do this too.
Peter, have a great weekend. Thanks a ton.
Thanks, Peter.
You too. Okay. Thanks a lot.
That is Peter Gammons, and boy, I mean, it'd be great if we could have some joy in Cubsville and certainly some joy in Bearsville. We'll ask Big Z about that possibility next. Mullion Haw on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.